What a wonderful song that is. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. You don't have to go very far. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter's come. At line 3, lo, the great King of Kings with healing in his wings to every captive soul a full deliverance brings, and through the vacant cells the song of triumph rings, the Comforter's come. That's beautiful. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. Back to Acts chapter 1. I have something that I enjoyed studying very much, and I hope and pray that we will all enjoy hearing it very much. We are going to think on, for just a moment, the day that our Lord returns. The day that He returns. What a day, glorious day that will be. The day that He returns. Let's begin reading here in verse 1. It says, the former treaty have I made, O Theophilus. And that name means friend of God. He's saying that's who I'm speaking to, the friend of God. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, our Lord's work that he came to do was finished. At this moment, it was finished. He came to accomplish the salvation of his people, and he had accomplished it. It was finished. Turn back about 2 pages to John 19. John 19, verse 28, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And at that moment, God the Father said, I am satisfied. I'm satisfied. And the veil in the temple was rent in twain. What a glorious thing that is. God's people were accepted back into the presence of God in and through the sacrifice of the blood of Christ, the Beloved, accepted in the Beloved. They buried our Lord for 3 days. They buried him for 3 days to prove that he did indeed die to put away our sins. He did die to put away our sins. After 3 days, God raised him from the dead to prove that the sins of his people truly were gone. Truly gone. And after his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And during that 40 days, he was teaching them. He was instructing them. He was opening their understanding to the Scriptures. He went through all the Scriptures and he started opening up their understanding to the Scriptures. And how glorious must that have been? On that last day, he led them out to Bethany, to a place called the Mount of Olives. And he blessed them there. He prayed for them. He prayed for them. And while he was blessing them, his feet lifted up off the ground. And it says he was parted from them. And they watched him as he was taken up into heaven. And this is what it says back in Acts chapter 1. If you turn back over to Acts, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus, they said, this same Jesus is going to come back just like you've seen him go. They watched. They watched all of it. They beheld it, just looking up into heaven. And they said, he's going to come back just like you've seen him go. There is going to come a day when this earth will see him again. And that's an amazing thought to me. There is going to come a day. It is going to come a day. It's when we don't expect it at all. You talk about least expect it, when you're not expecting it at all. There is going to come a day when this earth will see him again. On an exact predetermined day, this same Jesus is going to come just like he went. Exactly like he went. From the Scriptures, I want us to see a few things about the day and about the event. And after gazing upon these things, that's what it said the disciples did. They were gazing up into heaven. After gazing on these things, I pray we go home with the same response they had. Joy, ultimate joy. The first thing I want us to see is on that day, he will descend himself. Just like he himself was the one who ascended. He won't send somebody else back down. He's not going to send a servant in his place. The very one who loved us, the very one who suffered for us, the very one who bled for us and washed us in that blood, washed our sins in his own blood. He himself will descend back down to gather all of his people to himself. Let me show you that in John 14. John 14, verse 1. Our Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I will come myself to receive you. I will be the one. If you watch me ascend up into heaven to go prepare a place for you, if you see that, then you will also see me. I'll be the one who comes back to receive you to myself. In just a moment, we're going to read 1 Thessalonians 4, which says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord Himself. So that's the first thing. He Himself will come again. This same Jesus. All right, now here's the second thing. This same Jesus will come again. This very same Jesus. He is going to come back in the very same flesh that He went up in. The very same flesh, the very same body, the very same man. Turn with me over to Luke 24. Luke 24. When you get there, hold your place in Luke 24 and turn to John 20. Hold your place in Luke and let's look at John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, we get on to Thomas for that. We do. We get on to him. We give Thomas a pretty hard time for that. But I believe every child of God will say that. I believe every child of God. I want to, and I need to see those prints in his hands. I need to feel that wound in his side. Our Lord warned us. He said, many false Christs will come to you saying, I'm the Christ. But if he doesn't have prints in his hands, and if he doesn't have a wound in his side, Thomas said, I need to see those. All of God's people need to see those. If you can't see where blood and water flowed out for his people. Verse 26, it says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now I know. All right, now flip over to Luke 24. This is Luke's account of the same moment. Our Lord said in verse 39, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Flesh and bones. This same Jesus. in his same flesh and in his same character, the same nature that he took upon himself. Hebrews 2 says he did not take on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham, flesh. And that's how he's coming back. He has not changed from that moment. The one that they loved so much, and we by faith love so much, he has not changed from what he was when he ascended. He said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The third thing that I want us to see is concerning the actual day itself that the Lord returns. What type of day will it be? What type of day is that going to be when he returns? It's going to be a cloudy day. In the same way that it says he ascended up and a cloud received him out of their sight. In that same way, that's how he's coming back down. Go with me over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 7 says, Behold, he cometh with clouds. That's how he's coming. You know how sometimes the day starts off beautiful and then all of a sudden it's overcast. You're like, oh man, the clouds rolled in. Well, one of these days we're not going to be saying that. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Even the very ones who pierced him will see him. They're going to see those scars too. They're going to see the very same. They're going to know that's the one I pierced. But they're going to be scars of judgment. Verse 7 goes on to say, They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. On the day of Christ's return, it's going to be a day of judgment for every soul that he didn't bear those scars for. It's going to be a day of destruction. But for God's people, those who are truly looking for him, and we are, we're looking for him, we're waiting for him. To all those who truly long for his return, it's only going to be a day of glory. It's only going to be a day of glory. Absolute glory. It's going to be a day of honor. It's going to be a day of majesty. The same way that he ascended up, that's how he will come back down. How did he ascend up? You know, we say that our Lord died, he was buried, he rose again, and he ascended up to heaven. He ascended up to his Father. He ascended up to sit on his throne. How did he ascend up? Turn over to Psalm 47. Psalm 47, verse 5, it says, God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Can you imagine the scene in heaven when he ascended? Can you imagine the scene in heaven when he ascended back up? He ascended back up. With a shout, to a shout. Can you imagine how excited and happy and glad heaven was to see him walk in? The announcement of his ascension. That same announcement, that same way, that's how he's coming back down. Hold your place right here. Stay right here in Psalm 47 and turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The same way that he went up, that's how he's coming back down. He himself is coming. He's coming in the same flesh. He's coming in the same character, the same nature that he ascended up in. He's coming back with clouds, just like he went up with clouds. He's coming back with the announcement shout of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the same way that the saints in heaven received him when he ascended, the saints on earth will have the same response when he descends. It's going to be the same reaction. The same reaction that was there, that'll be the same reaction that was here. What was the reaction? We've already seen it, but what was it? Flip back to Psalm 47. You're holding your place in Psalm 47. Verse 1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Oh, clap your hands. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a holy assembly of saints who are not trying to bring attention to themselves at all, as their hearts are crying, "Not unto us, not unto us, not unto us," holy clapping and shouting with the voice of triumph. Look at Psalm 24. This is his ascension. When he ascended up, this is the ascension. Psalm 24, verse 3. "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully," that's Christ, "he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." That's what he ascended, and that's what he declared the accomplishment of his people for. Everything he had accomplished for them. Because of that, this is how he was received. Because he had such clean hands and such a pure heart. Everything was so perfect and everything that he accomplished. Because of that, this is how he was received when he ascended on high. Look at verse 7. And I can hear this, I can hear Michael the archangel crying this, okay? Verse 7, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, And be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And Michael asks all of heaven, who is this King of glory? And all of heaven cries, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. And Michael cries, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? And all of heaven cries, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. In the same way that applause, absolute applause and glory, met him at his ascension, applause and glory will meet him at his return. Look with me at Isaiah 55. Now this right here is the moment that he returns to gather all of his people to himself. All right? This is the moment. We're talking about the day he returns. Here it is. As those people are being caught up in the air, we just read in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise and we're all going to meet him in the air. Here it is. As his people are being caught up into the air with him, leaving this earth to dwell with him forever in glory, this is what's going to happen. Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. I think about whenever our Lord was riding into Jerusalem and they were throwing palms in his way and their coats in his way, crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Pharisees were so upset, telling the Lord, you tell your people to hush. It's too loud. It's obnoxious. He said it wouldn't do any good. If they hold their peace, the stones will cry out. All the rocks will start crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, verse 12 says, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. Well done. Well done. Everything is going to cry unto him. It's all unto him. Everything is going to cry, well done. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption. And when he comes, all of creation is going to cry, well done. Well done. And then forever, with this same Lord Jesus Christ, verse 13 says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, after seeing what the disciples saw in his ascension, and after hearing what they heard about his return, this was the response that the disciples had to all of it. If God has given us a heart for Christ, if he has given us a heart for Christ, I believe we're going to say this is our response too. Look one more time at Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 50, it says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him. and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That was their response. Great joy. Great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Our Lord said, watch and wait. That's what He said, and that's what we're doing. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. It could be any time now. Could be any time. The end of this book, the very end of this book says, come quickly, Lord. That's how this whole book ends. Come quickly, Lord. And that's what we cry. Come quickly, Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. All right. Brother Eddie, you come and lead us in a closing hymn.